in the second inning for the Athletics. And Higgins, Pinky Higgins, the third baseman, is at bat. Hitter swings the first pitch. It started two in time, but he stopped in time. Pull away from the inside pitch and have it called ball one. Has a wide one low for ball two, and the count is 2-0. Two and nothing, and there's a strike over the heart of the plate just above the knees. So it's 2 balls and 1 strike on Higgins. 2-1 the count. Pink watches the third ball come by now. It's over the plate, but much too low. And it makes it 3 balls and 1 strike on Higgins. And now comes strike two. A fastball over the heart of the plate, waist high. And the count is 3-2. There comes the fourth ball inside. And Kennedy really had trouble with his control. So both men finally walked Higgins. The Pinkies on first base with one out in the second inning. And Frank Hayes, the catcher, is up there at the plate. Hayes at bat. Kennedy throws the first one, and it's a fast one that's inside across the waist. Ball one. One ball called. Ready again, throws, and it's ball two, a curveball wide and low. Well, Vernon is having a little trouble in the control department. Had a lot of trouble with his control 3 days ago in the open game this series, you remember, when he was defeated. Although the Sox tied it up later on, he was knocked out of there. And there comes a strike, a fastball over the heart of the plate, waist high. One thing about this kid, he may have bad control, but he never quits bearing down. He's going to throw it with everything he's got. And if it goes away from the plate, it's too bad, but he's still throwing plenty. He loses that one by just an eyelash there in the corner. And it goes as ball three, but that was pretty close to corner. So it's 3 balls and 1 strike on Hayes. 3-1 the count. Kennedy throws to first base. The runner gets back there. Now Kennedy pitches again, and it's ball four, wide and low. And Hayes also gets the base on balls. Moves Higgins to second base. And the Athletics have runners on first and second with nobody, well, with one out of the second inning. And Newsom, Whitey Newsom, the A's shortstop, is at bat. And the first pitch is a strike over the heart of the plate just above the knees. 1 strike on Newsom. One strike to count, and there's a ball wide, and Sewell throws the ball to first base. The throw is very bad, and so Benora has to leap into the infield to grab it. He really had that fella caught pretty well off the base, but his throw was so high and wide that Benora had to leave the bag and chase into the infield and leap into the air to grab it. So it's 1-1, 1 ball and 1 strike on Newsom. Kennedy swings around again, pitches, and it's ball two. It just barely missed the outside corner across the waist. So it's 2 balls and 1 strike. One. He throws again with the runners on the go. The hitter hits the ball thrown to right field for a base hit. Benora sort of looked at the ball and started jogging after it. And finally, when he did run out there, the ball, which should have been easily caught, had seeped through into right field for a base hit. So Newsom singled to right, scoring Higgins from second base, and moving Hayes to third base. So as a result, the score is 2-1 in favor of the White Sox, and the A's have runners on first and third. One out, one run home in the second inning, and Rhodes, the pitcher, is at bat. Dusty takes the first one for a strike down over the inside corner above the knees. Fired is playing in pretty close, figuring the pitcher might try to pull a squeeze play, at least sacrifice a man from first to second. And the next pitch sails wide for ball one. The count is one ball and one strike on Rowe. Fire calls time when the runner down to first base requests it. He goes over and lists for something to Lena Blackburn, the athletic coach there at first base. He throws the first, runner's back. Might be figuring that there's a chance of their trying to pull something. And there comes the next one, a curveball, a breaking away from the hitter that caught the outside corner a little above the knees for strike two. And it's one ball and two strikes on Rowe. One and two to count. Rose was all set to bunt on the next one, but he pulled back in time to let it go by for the second ball. And the ball popped out of Sewell's glove. It rolled just a few feet into the infield. So Luke grabs it, rubs it up, walks in, calls something to Kennedy, calls after him as Burns starts back to the mound. Then the two come back to their places with Kennedy on the rubber and Sewell crossing back the plate to pass the sign. Count two balls and two strikes. And there comes the next pitch for ball three. It's wide across the waist, and Kennedy will really be in a serious jam now if he can't get this ball over on the pitcher, because there's the fella you've got to get if you're going to win. Ran two. Later swings at the next one to miss the curveball inside and strike out for the second out. Kennedy's control really has gone very bad in the last couple of weeks. Not that he isn't trying, because he is. And it may take him all year to master that new grip on the ball that he's using, the looser grip that he's using to prevent those famous wild pitches of his. And it might take a while before that control gets back. First pitch now to Finney, the leadoff man and left fielder, who is a bad left-handed hitter. The curveball against the inside corner about knee high. One strike to count. He throws again. And it's ball one inside across the waist. So it's one ball and one strike on Finney. One and one. Turns and goes to first. Brother was back in plenty of time. So Venora throws the ball back to Kennedy, and he pitches the pitch a high one wide for ball two on Finney. Two and one, two balls and one strike. Kennedy flips the ball from one hand to another, finally swings around in the rubber only to find Finney out of the batter's box. So he turns, walks out back of the mound to wipe his brow, rub up the ball a little bit, turns around to see Finney back to the plate, so he steps on the rubber. That the runner's eyes ready to pitch, pitches, and it's ball three. It's wide and low, and it's three and one. Burns got to get him over better than that. He's going to have some serious trouble again today. This is one club that he's supposed to beat quite handily, but they certainly pinned his ears back the other day. Now with a runner on the goal, the hitter hits a long drive to center field. McCreevich is waiting there, has it, and it's three out. Ending that inning with only half of the White Sox lead cut off. Score 2-1 in favor of the White Sox. In the first half of the second, he's had one run, one hit, and two men left on base. Two bases on balls, paving the way to the one run. And the score, as I said, is 2-1 in favor of the White Sox as they come to bat. In the last half of the second inning with Kennedy, White Sox pitcher, the first man at bat. The broadcast of the White Sox Philadelphia game comes to you direct from Comiskey Park, the home of the White Sox in Chicago, as a presentation of your neighborhood Texaco dealer, distributor of Texaco, Fire Chief Gasoline. The broadcast comes with the permission of the White Sox and the Athletics to stimulate interest in our national game and in your own local baseball team. It's WCFL at Chicago. So it's again stocked to warm up out there in the rubber, this time with Moss, number two catcher, and Hayes is just walking up there at the plate. Frank was on base the end of the inning. They're over on third base. He had to wait a moment to take a moment to get into his card. A round of applause. Kennedy, who comes hustling out of the dugout and up the plate, stands there to watch the last throw. Moss throws the ball out to second base. Johnson tosses it to Newsom. Newsom back to the pitcher. And Johnson and Newsom have a little confab of some sort there. Just as they back over toward their position, same as they did yesterday early in the game. Now they go back there. Rhodes is up in front of the mound, moving down the dirt with his feet, his shoe, sole of his shoe, and then steps back on the slab. Back to wind up throws, and then Kennedy hits an easy bound right back at Newsom, who gets it, throws the first, and Bernie's out for the first out of the second inning. One out of the second inning for the White Sox, and Radcliffe is at bat. Rip Radcliffe up at the plate. Throws the first one, and the Ripper takes it wide and low, a curveball away from him for ball one. One ball called. Again winds up, pitches, and Rip swings it about right back at Johnson, who got to throw the first, and Rip is out for the second time today in two innings, and it's the second out of the second inning. So it's two out of the second inning for the White Sox. Mike Peavitt, White Sox center fielder, who paved the way to the White Sox two runs in the first inning by beating out a bunt. He is up there at the plate. Throws, and Mike swings in a foul down the right field line and back against the front of the second deck. It bounds down front and clear back out into the field. Fire Hubbard calls time, and it's trotting out there to get the ball. Second base has started over two, but Hubbard kept right on going to get it. It's one strike on Peavis. Winding up once more. Throws, and Peavis takes the curveball wide and low for ball one. And it's one ball and one strike on Mike. One and one. Here again starts the windup, throws, and the hitter swings it, punched the ball toward right field. Johnson goes way over, manages to grab the ball, and by the time he retrieves it, the runner is safe at first. And as a result, Previtz is on first base with two out in the second inning. And Haas is at bat. I think that Wayne Otto, who has been away for a couple of days, is back on the job. He is the official scorer, and he said he was going to relay him to us. And the first pitch to Haas is a strike over the inside corner about knee high. One strike on Haas. Did Wayne give any sign on it? He did. Wade, he got it. I thought so. Tell that youngster there, Wade, to keep an eye on Wayne, because Wayne said he's going to forget this silly business and tend to business. The count is one and one now on Haas. One ball and one strike. Wayne's giving him over there. And now it's wide and low for ball two, making it two and one. Two balls and one strike on the mule. I guess I'm getting too old to take these little controversy seriously, George. I don't know. I'm getting, after that birthday when I was 29 again, why, I don't know how many times that's been, but quite a few. Hitter hits the next one. It's a slow bounder to the second baseman, who grabbed it and tagged Krivich out and then threw to first to make sure the other man also. But he was tagged out at second base, and it's three out. Wayne's giving him, isn't he, Whitey? Yeah, that's what I thought. Wayne told me that he says that that silly business is debunked with him. He's official scorer, and he's going to give him to us. So, yeah, Wayne Otto will pass him out. Thank you, Whitey. So it's no runs, one hit, one man left on base in the second inning for the White Sox. And the score is still 2-1 in favor of the Sox, the end of the second inning. You gotten your Texaco scorebook yet? You have, and you're working on it. Oh, I've had some swell inquiries from fans about ways of scoring some things. Oh, I meant to bring that one letter down here. It had three very good questions in it. And I want to dig it up and answer those questions just exactly how they were. But I'll bring that out tomorrow. You know how to get it. Just get your request card at your Texaco station, fill it in and send it in, and you'll get this swell scorebook with 17 games, a complete scoring system, and everything else. Now Moses at bat takes the first pitch inside for ball one. And there's ball two. It misses the outside corner above the knees. rather clear up to the shoulders.
Well above the knees, I might say.
And it's 2-0. 2 balls and no strikes. Kennedy throws again for a strike, this time over the outside corner down around the knees. And it's 2 balls and 1 strike. 2-1 on Moser. Throws once more. Wally swings and hit a high fly in the short center field. Previch is coming in hard under it and makes the catch over in right center. The wind having held it up and dropped it in there. So it's one out in the third inning for the Athletics. And Dean, Chubb Dean, the first baseman, is at bat. Dean's another left-handed hitter who's looking mighty, mighty good out there. Throws the first one, and Chubb swings it, a bounder down to Appling, who comes up with it nicely. Throws the first, and Dean is out for the second out. Makes it 2 out in the third inning for the Athletics. 2 out in the third inning, and Puccinelli is up there at the plate. Puccinelli at bat. Throws the first one, and the Pooch takes it inside across the waist for ball one. 1 ball called. He winds up and throws again. The hitter hits another bounder back past the pitcher. Hayes comes up with it nicely back of second base. Throws the first, and it's 3 out. No runs, no hits in the first half of the third inning. And the score remains 2-1 in favor of the White Sox. Sox coming to bat in the last half of the third inning. First man up will be Zeke Manora, the White Sox first baseman and cleanup hitter. Athletic players coming out onto the field with Rhodes just walking out across the infield to start his warm-up out there on the slab. Oh, boy, what weather. Perfect, eh, George? Cool enough. A lot of sunshine. Mm-hmm. You wear that old battered leather coat of yours and feel comfortable. And without that coat, you don't feel comfortable, do you? Even on a hot day, just look at it longingly once you put it on. Too bad. Hey, I got a lot of swell wires there that you brought in yesterday. It came from the studio that were delivered there on Tuesday, but I just got yesterday afternoon an open extra again. Several of them. Huh? Again, yeah. Only 29 again. Hey, somebody down in the stand didn't believe me today. Said, you're 29 on 10. I told her she was a whole lot more than 14, I knew. Here's Zeke Manora at bat. With Rhodes winding up, and he throws the first one for a ball inside across the chest, ball one. One ball called. Rhodes winds up, throws once more, and it's a strike over the outside corner across the knees. And it's 1-1. 1 ball and 1 strike on Benura. One and one. Throws again, and Zeke swings in a high fly out into right field. Short right field. The wind is blowing it back toward the foul line. And Johnson follows it in there and makes the catch nicely, although he had to not only judge a dangerous wind, but he had to battle the sun all the way also. So it's 1 out in the third inning for the White Sox. And Appling, Luke Appling is up there at the plate. Coach winds up pitches, and Luke takes a wide one across the chest for ball one. 1 ball called. Ready again, winds up, and throws, and the hitter swings to foul the ball up on the roof of the stand above and to the right of the plate, and it's 1-1. 1 ball and 1 strike. Again, the pitcher has the sign, winds up, and throws, and the hitter swings it up for another pop fly out toward right field. This time, Dean, the first baseman, is following it across the foul line and makes the catch just in foul territory for the second out in the third inning. Two out in the third inning for the White Sox. With Jackie Hayes, White Sox second baseman up there at the plate. Hayes at bat. He winds up, throws. Jackie takes a strike over the heart of the plate about waist high. One strike on Hayes. Swings again, hit a line drive to left field, but the left fielder finishes waiting. Oh, he almost misjudged it and had to leap high in the air to make a one-handed catch of it for the third out. Finney stood there and jogged in a couple of steps and then saw the ball start to sail over his head instead of sinking as he apparently thought it was going to. And he had to leap into the air to make a fine one-handed leaping stab of the ball to get it for the third out. So it's no runs, no hits in the third inning for the White Sox. And the score remains 2-1 in favor of the White Sox at the end of the third inning. Now, for complete scores up to the minute and complete batteries from other cities, we return to the studio.
In the National League in New York, the Cubs are leading the Giants at the end of the first half of the sixth inning, 1-0. Davis and Hartman start for the Cubs with Henshaw pitching in the sixth. Hubble and Mancuso, the Giant battery. In Brooklyn, the St. Louis Cardinals lead the Dodgers at the end of the first of the seventh inning by a score of 4-0. Winford and Ogrodowski, the Cardinal battery. The Dodgers using Frank Arsenberry's to open with Phelps catching in the seventh. In Boston, the Bees and the Pittsburgh Pirates are tied at 3-3 at the end of the first half of the seventh inning. Blanton and Patton, the opening battery for the Pirates, with Brown pitching in the fifth. Bush and Lopez starting for the Bees with Cantwell on the mound in the sixth. In Philadelphia, the first game of the doubleheader between the Phillies and the Cincinnati Reds, taken by the Reds, 5-0. In the second game at the end of the first half of the first inning, the Reds lead the Phillies 1-0. Hollingsworth and Campbell, the Red battery in the second game. For the Phillies, Benge and Wilson. In the American League, in Cleveland, the Indians lead the Washington Senators at the end of the second inning, 4-2. DeShong and Millie's working for the Senators, the Indians using Blayholder and Pitlock to open, Hudlin pitching in the third. In Detroit, the New York Yankees lead the Tigers at the end of the first half of the third inning, 2-0. Broca and Dickey, the Yankee battery, Tigers using Schoolboy, Rowe, and Hayward. And now back to Comiskey Park and Hal Totten. Take it, Hal.
Back at the ballpark for the fourth inning, Bob Johnson, after taking a ball, took a crack in the next ball pitch and hit a home run, wind or no wind, clear into the lower deck of the left field stands in deep left center. Radcliffe made a great try for the ball, leaping high in the air, but it just slipped over the top of the scoreboard into the seat for a home run. Now Higgins goes after the first ball pitch and drives it out to center field, just to the right of center, for a single. As Mr. Kennedy going to get his ears pinned back for the second time in the series. That's the way they started out against him the other day. They just murdered everything he threw, and the Sox are taking no chances. They have a pitcher warming up in the left field bullpen as Frank Hayes takes the first pitch wide for ball one. There comes ball two, another curveball way outside, and it's 2-0, two balls and no strikes. One nothing is the count. Hitter swings again to miss a curveball for strike one, and it's two balls and one strike on Hayes. Thank you, Ernie. Yeah, Wayne's passing more. Right. 2-1 is the count. Two balls and one strike. Pitcher throws the first. The runner's back there. Now he pitches ball three very wide, and it's three balls and one strike on Hayes. Stands there rubbing up that ball, finally gets ready to pitch again. Throws, and Frank gets a strike over the inside corner about waist high. Makes the usual start toward first base, but comes back fast. And it's 3-2. Three balls and two strikes. Now with a runner on the goal, the hitter hits a long foul onto the roof of the stand, down beyond first base. And it's still three balls and two strikes on Frank Hayes, the athletic catcher. At bat in the fourth inning. Nobody out. One run already home. And Higgins on first base. Now Higgins again is on the run. There's another foul up over the roof of the stand. Above and to the right of the plate. Three and 2-2 still. And there's the next one for ball four wide, and he has got the base on ball. Moves Higgins to second base. The Athletics have runners on first and second with nobody out in the fourth inning. One run already home, and Newsom, the shortstop, is at bat. Yes, Vernon's having a lot of serious trouble out there. I don't know whether he's going to be able to get out of it, because when the control isn't there, it's hard to get out of a jam. And he's having his trouble. Newsom acted as though he was going to front, but very apparently didn't intend to. Just intended to look for the bad ball, and he got it. Wide and low. The ball one. Philadelphia runners on first and second. Nobody out of the fourth. One run home, and the score tied 2-2. Hitter swings the next one. Hit a high fly down the right field line. Going foul. Lands down there against the front of the stand. And it's 1-1. One ball and one strike on Newsom. Right there for his sign as Hoss gets back to his position. Vern looks at second, throws, and the hitter does bunt the ball down toward first base. Manoah comes in, gets it, throws back at Hayes at first, and it's sacrificed by Newsom. Manoah to Hayes for the first out in the fourth inning, moving Higgins to third base, and Hayes to second. Now the A's have runners on second and third. With one out, one run already home in the fourth inning. And the pitcher, Gordon Rhodes, Dusty Rhodes, is up there at the plate. We still call all the roads Dusty Rhodes, even though we have a lot of concrete and cadmium nowadays instead of old dirt roads. Still Dusty. Hitter swings hard at the first pitch and fouls it back against the catcher's protector. Thumbs over halfway out to first base. Benora comes in, gets it, throws it back to the catcher. He hands it to umpire Quinn for examination. Kennedy winds up again, throws, and Dusty swings around his soda bump and then takes a chop at the ball, but misses it for strike two. Stool thing and swing around in bunting position, started to run out in front. As a result, the ball hit his glove and rolled over to the right a little bit. So it's two strikes on Rhodes. Infield pulled in real close, almost to the infield grass. I think he set off that run at the plate if possible. And he throws the next one. It's a little pop fly foul to the left of the plate on a bunt, so he's out automatically on a foul bunt on the third strike. Scored as a strikeout. And you can make a footnote if you want to in your scorebook, as we do, drawing a line from that K in the lower right-hand corner down to the margin, indicating foul bunt on third strike. Now the man up there, Finney, watches the first pitch come by wide for ball one. Hello, Mr. Pennsylvania. He remembered it today. And there's one wide for ball two, making it 2-0. Two balls and no strikes. One nothing to count. But she winds up again, throws the hitter, swings to pull a foul down past first base for the first strike. And it makes it 2-1. Two balls and one strike on Finney. 1-1 to count. Then he walks around and back out of the batter's box as Kennedy rubs up a new ball. Here comes the next pitch and a hitter hits the bounder right back. It just glances off of the pitcher's glove, and Hayes makes a great play in front of second base to get the ball and throw to first. Oh, that play was really a beauty by Hayes. Kennedy leaped into the air and just managed to slow up that ball a little bit. Hayes came over fast, grabbed it, and with a great underhand flip toss, got Finney at first base on a close play for the third out. Well, that ends the fourth inning, and Kennedy pitched out of the inning in great style. After looking very wobbly at the start, he settled down and looked just the opposite of wobbly. One run, two hits, two men left on base in the first half of the fourth inning, and the score remains a tie 2-2 between the White Sox and the Athletics.